Mark chapter 10. The message today is Jesus' other baptism. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And there come near unto him James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall ask of thee. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We are able. Jesus said unto them, The cup that I drink, ye shall drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared. And Matthew tells us, by the Father. Notice, are you able to drink the cup? Are you able to be baptized? Now, Luke chapter 12. Verse 49. I came to cast fire upon the earth. And what do I desire if it is already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Notice, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? In John 18, verse 10, our Savior is in the garden. He is about to be arrested, and Peter is going to come to his rescue. But it says in verse 10, Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. Now the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus therefore said unto Peter, Put up the sword into the sheath, the cup which the Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? Let us speak God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the one whose name we heard spoken by the lips of children. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Our God, we thank you that in all the confusion, all the obscurity, all the darkness that surrounds us, there is the light of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, who shines upon us and gives us understanding of the way to heaven and of God's ways on the earth. We are thankful for this light. We confess, our God, that without it, there would be utter confusion and there would be utter desolation. But even with it, our God, how often do we fail to consider life in the light that thy Son has given us. But we are thankful that that light has been given. And we've read some passages this morning that will illumine our souls about the sufferings of light in the life of Christ and in our own lives. We thank you for the Word of God. Let us know that it is among the greatest treasures given to us. It is equal, Father, to the gift of thy Son, the gift of thy Spirit, the gift of thy Word, because thou hast told us, I have magnified my Word above all my name. We thank you for this great gift. We have read from it, and we desire now to understand it. So illumine the one who speaks, and prepare the hearts of those who listen, that we may be instructed by the Spirit of God come down from heaven. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as thou hast promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you like to have the honor of sitting at the right hand or the left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a very great honor. There's only one other place that I know of that I'd rather occupy. That is the place that John did at that Last Supper. He had his head upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of us would say, I love the Lord Jesus, and I want to have my head upon his bosom. But some, like these disciples, would like a position of prominence, a position of authority. We would like to sit at Christ's right hand and left hand. So let me ask you another question. If you choose to be in one of these places, would you be willing to be crucified to sit at his right hand or his left hand? You say, well, I'm more willing to sit there than to suffer and earn the place at his right hand. And this is what Christ wants the disciples to understand. There are always those who want favoritism. Because someone is my friend, because he loves me, not because of my merit, but just because of the friendship that exists between us, I want this favor to be bestowed upon me. The Lord Jesus never bestows any gift that way. If that were so, then John, the beloved disciple, would be at his right hand. But concerning the occupation of his right hand and his left hand, he said, it is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it's been prepared of my Father. And God is the judge of all the earth, and he will look down upon the activities, the devotion, the faithfulness of all his servants. And in the coming day, he is going to say, you and you sit on the right hand of my Son and on the left hand of my Son. Now think of your life. How great a life of suffering your life has been for the Lord Jesus. Is that right? You say no. Well then, why should you ever expect to occupy such an honored place in heaven? The way to escape it is this way, to be like the psalmist in Psalm 84. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so when you get to heaven, you may see me as a doorkeeper, which would be one of the lower places, but you're going to see me there. That's the thing. All of us who have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, we will be there, because salvation is the free gift of God. But any elevation, any honor that shall be ours in heaven is not a gift, it is a reward. Will you remember that? Whatever you're going to be in heaven depends on you. The fact that you're going to be in heaven depends on Christ. And this is how Paul put it. He says, so then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And God is working in you now, you who have been born again, to do his good pleasure. And the one who does his good pleasure, best of all, will be on the right hand, and the other shall be on his left hand. And God is impartial in this respect. Nothing that is favoritism, but the fact that you have earned this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And if you've done bad things, they will be exposed. And if you've done good things, they will be exposed. And you will be rewarded for everything that you've done. So these disciples come, and they want to get ahead of the others, and if the Lord commits himself to them, because that's what they said, without ever telling them, they said to him, we want you to do something for us. What if the Lord had been so foolish, as many of us are, and say, certainly, anything that you please. And then they had asked that. How embarrassing. One man did that. There was a young woman that danced before him and pleased him. And he said to her, ask anything that you want to the half of my kingdom and I shall give you. And her mother said, ask the head of John the Baptist. And that's what she asked for. And then the king's heart was smitten because he had said such a thing. But in the case of the Lord Jesus, the Savior said, let me hear first what you want. And then when they told him, he said, you do not know what you are asking. There are some things that we ask for, and the Bible says, we know not how to pray as we ought to pray. And there are some things that you ask for, and you do not know what you are asking for. But they wanted them, and when the other disciples heard about it, they were angry with the two because they probably wanted those positions of honor themselves. But the Lord said to them, you do not know what you are asking me. And for two reasons, you do not understand that this place of honor is not an arbitrary bestowal, and at the same time, this place of honor can only be secured by great suffering. You do not know what you're asking. But then he goes on and he mentions this. He mentions his other baptism. And he said to them, are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of? Or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said, we are able. How quick they are to ask for a position that cannot be given, and how quick they are to say, yes, we are able to drink and to be baptized the way that you are. Now, understand the words of Christ. It is very gracious when he answers them this way. He said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and you shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized withal. But for me to give you the place at my right hand and left hand, it's not mine to give. But notice, he did give them something. They said to him, and in mine it says, grant unto us. But it's literally, give unto us. He said, I'm not going to give you that. He said, but I'm going to give you a great honor. I'm going to give you the honor of drinking of the same cup that I drink of, and of being baptized with the baptism that I am baptized withal. You say, why is that a great honor? For this reason. When you consider the sufferings of Christ on the cross for you, the question should be answered in a positive way, yes, I will drink the cup, I will be baptized withal, but at the same time, you will drink that cup because you want to give back unto the Lord something in return of what he did for you. And that is what drinking of the cup and being baptized with the baptism of Christ signifies. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 1. It says, unto us it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suppose the Lord said, you are not worthy to suffer for my sake. It says in Acts that when the early disciples were beaten, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the Lord. Now think of your life. If there is any worthiness that God would choose you out and say, I'm going to allow you to suffer for my sake. It's a great honor. And that is what Christ did. They came asking for honored positions, but he gave them something different from what they asked. He gave them the possibility of occupying those positions by earning them, But at the same time, whether they did merit his right hand or his left hand, he said, I will let you drink of my cup, and I will let you be baptized with my baptism. So think of this now. Most of us know about one baptism of Christ. When John the Baptist was at the Jordan River baptizing all the nation of Israel, the baptism of repentance, it says that after all the people had been baptized, Jesus came also and was baptized. You remember that baptism. But Christ, after that, said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. So this is another baptism. The first baptism of Christ was not the only baptism of Christ. And if you have been born again and been baptized, you are supposed to also accept a second baptism. It's not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Thank God that comes with the gift of salvation. There are those who think that because of something that they do and merit, they can be saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost. They think of all these things as additional things that have to be earned. But this is what Christ tells us. In Ephesians 1:4, it says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's not one spiritual blessing that is not yours. You have to appropriate it. You must enter into it. But there is nothing that you have to do to experience the baptism in the Spirit, to receive the sealing of the Spirit, to receive the indwelling of the Spirit. All of those things come with salvation. But there is something that you have to do to be baptized with the baptism of Christ, of which we read in Luke chapter 12. And that is something that is as voluntary as the first baptism that you experienced when you trusted Christ as Savior. Understand that the Lord Jesus voluntarily left Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he walked all the way. God never tells us about a donkey, but one time upon which Christ rode, he came all the way down to Judea, and he found John the Baptist, and he said, I'm here to be baptized with you. He voluntarily chose to be baptized. In like manner, after you have trusted Christ as Savior, it is presupposed that you will submit to Christian baptism. But some do not. They think it's an optional thing. But the Lord Jesus said, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. So when you trust Christ as Savior, there is another decision that you have to make. Will I accept an outward visible sign of what happened to me spiritually, inwardly? And some people never do. Some people wait for years and years. But in the Word of God, if they trusted Christ as Savior, immediately baptism followed. Listen to the Ethiopian eunuch. He has been told about Christ and his salvation in Isaiah 53. And as they're riding along in the chariot, he says to Philip, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Do you see that choice? He had trusted Christ as Savior, and Philip had told him what the Lord expected him to do. And Philip did not urge him, but he urged Philip. He said, There's no delay. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip in no way hindered him. Now in like manner, once you have received that first water baptism, when you trusted Christ as Savior, there is another baptism that you are to accept. There is another cup that you are to drink from that some of us have not taken into consideration, because there are two baptisms and there are two cups. Some of us were here at the remembrance meeting this morning, and the symbol of the cup, we took it and we drank it. But there is another cup that is not that cup. And Christ says, you may drink that cup. And when we trusted Christ as Savior, we were baptized, but having been baptized, Christ says, there is another baptism, and will you accept that baptism the way you accepted the first baptism? What is the significance of baptism? Let's take it simply from Romans chapter 6. It says, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. And so here, when we were baptized, it was the easiest kind of baptism. It was nothing that you had experienced, but it was something that Christ had done for you, suffered for you, and all you had to do was to be immersed in that water, and that was a picture of your dying with the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, the Lord Jesus not only was baptized in the River Jordan, but what it symbolized, death, the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary and experience it in that literal way. You have never suffered for your sins. You never will suffer for your sins. Christ suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But you may suffer in his behalf because he's given you that privilege, not for the salvation of souls, but for the welfare of his church. So you have accepted, by being baptized, the fact that Christ died for you and you died with him. And now the next question is this. Now that you've taken that first baptism, will you accept the second baptism? Because Christ was immersed. His baptism was a baptism into sorrow and pain and suffering and rejection and death. Those were the waters that Christ was talking about when he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And that is what Christ is asking you. He says, you can be baptized with my baptism? Yes. Well, are you prepared to accept that baptism? You said, well, I accepted the first. I wonder if you're prepared to accept the second. There are some who are. There are some who are not. And I'm thinking of the hasty answer that James and John gave when Christ said, can you drink my cup? Can you enter into my baptism? They said, we are able. Now think, this baptism is an immersion into suffering and imprisonment and sorrow and death. And they said, we are able. And it says in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the enemies of Christ came to arrest him, and the Lord Jesus said, I am the one that you want. Let these go. They took that opportunity, and the Bible says they all forsook him and fled. He had given them the privilege to be baptized with the baptism he was baptized with. But they refused it. They ran for their lives. Now, in like manner, there is the water of baptism when you trusted Christ as Savior. And that's an easy thing, because you're symbolizing that someone suffered for you. But to accept that second baptism symbolizes that you are willing to suffer for him. And it's a gift. For unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, if I ask you, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism wherewithal Christ was baptized? If you say, yes, I am able. Beware, because it may be that you will be in the Garden of Gethsemane and will find out that you are nothing but empty words, and you will flee for your life. And if you're talking about being baptized in a baptism like unto Christ, where then is your boldness to witness to the Lord Jesus Christ? To let men know that he is the one who is your Lord and Master. Where is that boldness? Does the world look upon you, and is God able to say from heaven, as he said concerning Job, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him upon the earth, a man that heareth evil, escheweth evil, doeth good, there's nobody like him. Can God say something like that about you? And can God say something like this about you? When Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, receive Christ as Savior. He sent Ananias to baptize him. And Ananias said, Lord, we've heard about this man. He's a persecutor of the church. The Lord Jesus said, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. Now, can God say that about you? I will show how many things these ones in Pembroke are willing to suffer for my sake. Now, the Apostle Paul was. But I wonder if Christ can say that about us. He was not able to say it about the 12 in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of them sold him for 30 pieces of silver. The others proved to be cowards. And then Peter had a little boldness and he followed him afar off. And John the Beloved went with him into the high priest's court. He was with Christ. That they think they have more strength than they do. And when God asks that question, what you have to do is to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, increase my strength. Be able to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so Christ says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? If you say, I am by the grace of God. That's how Paul put it. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he said, I labored more abundantly than all the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And so if the Lord says, are you prepared to accept that second baptism? If you answer, say, by your grace I am, my Lord. And I think that I would say, but do not make it too severe, Lord. You know how frail I am. That's what we would say. But James and John, why, they are quite prepared to immediately answer, yes, we can drink the cup. We can enter into the baptism. And the Lord Jesus, just as he said to Peter, remember, because the Savior so often accepts what we say and does not explain how contradictory these things are, but when Peter told him that he was prepared to go to prison and to die with him, the Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you as wheat. Peter said, I'm prepared to die for you. The Savior said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see all this boasting, what Peter is prepared to do for the Lord? The Lord said, you're going to die for me. You won't even stand up and confess that you know me. And he showed what was Peter's natural inclination, how weak and frail he was. But then, thank God, later, Peter received that strength, and Peter was prepared to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it says in Acts. It says that having failed the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he went to preach for the Savior, he and John preached in such a way, it said the people, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. And so I'm wondering if God from heaven can look down and say, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Paul? And can he mention your name and say, these are they who are prepared to be baptized with my son's baptism? Or does he look at you and shake his head when you are boasting about what you're going to do and he says, you are going to die for me, you're going to deny me? And how shameful a thing when God has given us a chance to make up for all our failures over all the years before we were saved. For 19 years, I walked in my own way. And then when I was 19, I trusted Christ as Savior. And I've been trying for over 50 years now to walk with the Lord, but so imperfectly. But what he wants is for those to walk perfectly for him. He says this concerning David. He said, I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Except for that one infraction that God mentions. David was willing to do God's will. And Saul the apostle was willing to do God's will. And thank God, later on, all the apostles were willing to do God's will. So there was a second baptism, and Christ said, "How am I straitened? I said, it be accomplished." What does that mean? It means that our Savior, and you can understand it better, straitened, we don't know what that means necessarily. But when our Savior was preaching, it says, the multitudes thronged him. And this is the same word. He was so thronged, he was not able to move. The same word is used concerning a city when an army surrounds that city and they cannot get out of that city. And that is what Christ said. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I thronged? How am I surrounded? I'm not able to move. I'm restricted until I experience that baptism. Now, what happened with this? That Christ, unlike ourselves, knew what was coming before him. It says in John chapter 18 that the Lord Jesus, knowing all things that were coming upon him, when his enemies were coming to take him and crucify him, it said the Savior, knowing all things that were coming upon him, it said, he went forth boldly and said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And they all went back and fell to the ground. The Lord Jesus was waiting for that baptism. And that baptism was beginning to take place in the garden of Gethsemane. He had anticipated it. And before it actually happened, our Savior was in agony of soul. Listen to what he said in John chapter 12. When Greeks came up and they wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior said, Father, the hour is come. He said, Father, what shall I say about this hour? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. You see, in anticipation of this baptism, the Lord Jesus said, Father, save me from this hour. But then he said, for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And at the same time in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Watch here and pray with me. And he went about a stone's cast from them and knelt down and prayed to his Father. And it said he sweat as it were great drops of blood. Why? It was in anticipation of the baptism, the other baptism that he had to experience. For the Lord Jesus and for you and me to go through all the rituals, it's nothing. And for the Lord Jesus to submit to water baptism, nothing. For the Lord Jesus to drink the cup, nothing. But for the Lord Jesus to experience the meaning of that baptism, the meaning of that cup, caused him to be filled with trouble, sorrow unto death. And the words that you find in Lamentations are so fitting. They could be spoken by no one better than our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is brought upon me, with which the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And that was the condition of soul of the Lord Jesus Christ as he finally came to the very hour when he was going to enter into that baptism. And now, think again of the disciples saying, when Jesus said, can you be baptized with my baptism? We are able. And the Lord Jesus said, You are able? Well, think, as Saul of Tarsus had much suffering to endure for the Lord, God has many things for you to experience in life. And just as you accepted the first baptism, you have to accept that second baptism. John Mark, when he went with them on that missionary journey, when he came to Antioch, he said, it's too much for me. And he turned around and went home. And so some of us are quitters. We are willing to go on for the Lord as long as it's a path that is well trodden and as long as it isn't filled with stones and thorns. But when that happens, well, we do not want any more of that baptism. But there is the first baptism and there is the second baptism. The first baptism in Christ's life was when he was immersed in the River Jordan. The other baptism was when he bore our sins in his own body on the cross of Calvary, when he was immersed in those sufferings that only God his Father could understand. And so you and I have understood those sufferings somewhat, and we have accepted Christ as bearing our sins in his own body upon the tree. And now he says, will you accept the baptism that I was baptized with and suffer somewhat for me? You said yes the first time. Now by God's grace, may you say yes at this point in your life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Son. Our God, we are so glad that salvation is of yourself. If it were of man, there would be no salvation. We are so thankful, Father, that if there were the accomplishment of your will, apart from your impelling spirit, there would be no accomplishment of thy will. But we are thankful that you told us that you who worked in us at first to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, now it is God that worketh in you to do his good and acceptable and perfect will. Our Father, the Lord Jesus, accepted the first baptism and the last baptism. We have accepted the first. We have trusted him as Savior. And now, whatever the waters of baptism might hold for us, this second baptism, let us be willing to be immersed into those as well. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.